How are you doing, guys? I wanna go. How are you doing? Welcome back, guys. In this next feature, I just wanted to talk a little bit more in depth. I don't know all what I said when I was talking about myself on the first feature, but for you guys to kind of just understand and get to know me, I've been through so much. We all have, and we all have a story. I'll tell you a little bit about myself, even the not so good parts. That's just how real I am. So, I grew up in Oklahoma, home of the sweeping plains, where the wind is always windy, tornadoes roam about left and right. I lived through 2 F5 tornadoes, one in 1999 and one in 2013. Those were not the best years, given the fact of the destructive path those tornadoes led through. But out of this state, much resilience and strength have came out of those bad situations, and people still helped each other out, even strangers. There's a lot that people can look back and realize, you know what? Moore's a pretty good town. Oklahoma's a pretty good place to live, based upon its people. I may have rambled on some of this, but please listen to this podcast to its entirety, because I want you to be blessed, and there's a hidden message behind it. And through knowing from point A all the way to point Z, just listening about my life, you can learn so much. And learn that anybody and anything is possible if you truly believe and show forth the work. What you put into the world, you will get out of the world. It's kind of Newton's law of motion. So please just be encouraged and listen up. So, there was a lot I had to learn from. I am the baby of the family. My sister is the oldest. Now, we did not come from the Joneses, shall we say, of parents. My parents tried their best, but they were on a low income level and on a fixed income level. They also had a couple bad addictions, which did cause some dysfunctionalism within the family. They loved us. Sometimes it's a bit of tough love. They never pushed us to go to church. They had always encouraged us, though, to go. Partially because I think they wanted to get us out of the house. But second of all, they wanted to instill good values placed in us. So, a lot of people I knew from my church. There wasn't a whole lot of friends I made as a younger kid. A lot of people were mean to me. They liked to make fun of me. So, partially because of the hand-me-downs I would wear from my sister. My parents have a whole lot of money to go around with, to spend on clothes every 5 minutes, that me and her grew out of. What she grew out of, I grew into. So a lot of times I would just wear her clothes. Plus, we also went to Goodwill or anything, places like that, when we did buy clothes. So I didn't always buy the $50 shirts. Sometimes I had to buy with what I could fit in, even if it wasn't the most in style. So, I continued onward because I knew elementary school kids are mean. I went to several church camps. 1 year stuck out at me, and I know they were talking about heaven and hell, and it just became so real and so understood in the way that it was preached. So, I knew God was talking to me, and He told me what I needed to do, so I prayed, and I accepted Jesus into my heart, and asked Him to forgive me of my sins when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, somewhere in there. I've lost track of time, but I know I was really young. And I felt a joy that moment I received Him into my life that I never felt before. That was the best moment I had in my life. See, my dad, he drank a lot. My mom, she smoked a lot of cigarettes. My dad also did a lot of weed. Weed's legal now, so it's not like it was a total bad thing, but back then when he did it, it was illegal. So he always told us, you know, don't say anything to anybody. Got to keep to ourselves. Because he didn't want me to be taken away. Now, my parents were also the strict parents. They didn't allow certain people to hang around me. They didn't allow me to have friends over very much. I guess maybe they were ashamed of sometimes how the house looked or smelled. I don't know, because of the cigarette smoke. I don't know what the case was, but I couldn't have very many people over. And I never even got invited to other people's houses over. So it was kind of one of those catch-22s. So pretty much I stayed around my sister a lot. I listened to the radio a lot. Listened to all kinds of different music from my dad. All the way from Santana to rap. From Warren G to rock and roll. From Boston to Styx to country. From like Alan Jackson to Poison. All kinds of old, good country, rock, rap. Era that my parents listened to. Even the good oldies like Bob Dylan and Dolly Parton, and like the list goes on. So I was always exposed to a lot of different kinds of music growing up. So I even sang a lot to their songs. That's why I partially learned how to sing some. My parents, on the other hand, didn't think I could carry a tune, so they always told me to shut up, Amanda. Quit singing, Amanda. You're singing too loud. Partially because they didn't like what they heard. Or they didn't understand it. So, I grew up. I kind of caused a little bit of trouble. You know, not too much trouble, but I was more or less the rebellious one. I was hard-headed. Stubborn in my ways. A lot of times I had to learn the hard way growing up. Who doesn't? I was always trying to gain attention because my sister always had the floor. She was the smart one. The one that was really book smarts, who ended up going to advanced placement classes and stuff of that nature. So we just kind of coasted through our life. And when I got into junior high, I still had some kids bully me, put gum in my hair. Now, of course, I was kind of the one that tried to be popular, but was popular in other ways. Some of the popularity in other ways consisted of me preaching too much. I was really on fire for God and
bully veteran. Now, flashing forward a bit, some of the same bullies that bullied me about God have now actually changed their lives around, and I commend them. They are on fire for God. They're preaching about God. They're talking about God. They're living godly as best as they can live it. So it just kind of goes to show you that anybody can change based upon who he is in their lives. Certain people are in different paths at different times. And one day, every need of God, every time I confess to the need of God, sometimes that's my credit is just going to come up. So, if he was terrible, I coached the bullies, had him in my eyes, tried to become popular. See, a lot of people knew me as a part of the Christian group, SPA, choir.
Sports, because I wasn't very athletic, and I'd write a little bit off and on, but I wasn't like majorly into writing. Then high school hit. Talk about crazy whirlwind of events when high school hit. We no more had a tornado in junior high that hit when I was during one of the Civil War encampments in ninth grade that we were studying. So that day was pretty crazy when that happened. It was a smaller F2, F3 tornado that took out part of Moore. But I remember that day being very hazy, couldn't breathe. So to kick this new year off, when 10th grade happened, I was so ready for a fresh start. I was thinking to myself, I'm going to school with 2,000 people. Here's my chance to gain new friends, new people. And so I was still kind of quiet. I kept to myself. I wasn't picked on as much, but not very many people accepted me either. Except for maybe a couple of the Christian groups. And of course the people that were in like some of the higher level classes, the AP classes. Because I tried taking pre-AP classes, so I was also with them as well. So 10th grade, I just kind of followed suit of what I knew, what I had to do with some of the smarter classes. And I did the same thing for 11th grade. 11th grade, I kind of got a little bit burned down on taking all these hardcore classes. So, between those years, I was 16, 17. I even took a job at GFF, my first job I ever took. I was a cashier there, so I made $5.75 an hour cashiering. I eventually learned how to stock goods on the sales floor, and I would even bag up groceries before the stackers came in as fast as a cashier as I was, ringing stuff up. Plus, I was just trying to help out. So, I continued with that job in 12th grade. 12th grade, I decided to take chances and just kind of do some exploratory fun electives like jewelry making, artistic abilities with the computers like graphic design, Photoshop, InDesign, CorelDRAW. I decided to explore what I would be good at. It was a challenge on some of that, getting some of that done, but little did I know, flashing forward, that those skills that I learned, even just the basics of and electives, would help me now in the future. More to that in this next segment. So here I am in 12th grade, doing all these fun electives, learning so much. I think I even did some coding way back when with a little bit of web design as one of my electives with Mr. Burris from Westmore High School. Yay, go Jags, we represent. Anyways, so I still didn't do a whole lot of sports. I became friends with some people that were writers that loved writing poetry, and they were also in my choir class. So I did some of those. And in my 12th grade year, I really took an interest in writing some when I had a really awesome teacher that would explain how the writing works and how different writing styles there are. And learning through Edgar Allan Poe how he wrote his stories, his poems, you know, it's very dark and twisted, but they were still very cryptic and very coded. So I thought, man, this is really cool. You know, I can probably write. My teacher would always tell me that I was the most detailed, even though I may not have always been on point on some things, or I needed more grammatical fixing. But she really liked my detail and how I explained things. So I took that to heart. And so I continued still working. Well, I also went into dates. I really liked this boy I knew. I grew up in church with him my whole life. And I just knew that we were meant to be together. His Nana, I would sometimes check out at the grocery store through my line. She'd always come and ask and say, man, I pray that my grandson can meet the woman that would be the love of his life. And so I prayed and we dated, and let's just say we knew we fell in love with each other very fast. I was in 12th grade. Given the situation and what was going on, all of the fighting, the dysfunctionalism, and I kind of wanted to get out. And I knew I was in my feelings. I knew he was meant to be the one to be together. So I had saved up my money from my job. And on $5.75 an hour, I paid for my car. Wasn't the best of cars, but it got me to point A to point B for as long as I had it. And I also saved up some money from my job, plus his job at Walmart, then to get our wedding. We decided to get engaged probably about a year after dating, roughly. And 6 months from there, we ended up getting married. That was a whole new chapter. Whole new chapter. 18, 19. I had my guitar. I was like, I'm not going to be able to do anything much with it. So I had just put it on the shelf. I even wanted the guitar partially because I've seen all the cool people in the youth group I was in playing guitar and singing the songs and the worship and leading worship, and I thought, you know, that'd be cool. I could do that. Even though I never was fully learned a lot, I still liked playing the guitar and got my mind off of things for a while. Well, being young and knowing that I needed to provide for our marriage, I knew $5.75 an hour wasn't going to cut it. So, I decided to apply at Walmart. I got a job at making $8 an hour back in 2007. And I thought, you know, this is the life. I'm really making some money here. You know, I'm providing and he's providing and he's making $10 an hour. I was like, yeah, we can do it. You know, this is the life. And so we moved over into a one-bedroom apartment. We lived in it, and it was nice for a while. I decided to drop out of college because I thought, you know, making $8 an hour back then was definitely the job, you know? I never gave myself enough time between high school and the start of college a break to decide where and what I wanted to do in life. So by the time I started college, the following semester after 12th grade, I was burnt out already. Plus some of the classes they put me in was lower classes that I shouldn't have been in because I no more passed other classes that were a higher level than that. But, you know, you just got to do what you got to do with what they give you and where you test at, out or in at. Maybe I was just having a bad testing day to where I didn't test so well. Either way. So I decided to quit college. Go with Walmart. Because I thought, this is the life. This is the job. I can make a lot of money here. So we continued onward for a good couple years. Just trying to enjoy our marriage. And then actually a year later, from 2007 and 2008, we decided to get pregnant. I had my daughter, Georgia. She, let me tell you, was a handful. I was sick through a lot of the whole pregnancy through that. It was stressful at times, but we decided that, you know, this is what God wanted. If God didn't want us to have a kid, we wouldn't have had a kid to begin with. And she was the best thing that ever happened after all. So, she continued onward. My mama would watch her while me and Mike worked off and on when she got off work at Walmart after 4 o'clock. And she would spend a little bit of time. Even his Nana watched her a little bit as well. My mama then fell sick back in 2009. My daughter was only about 9 months old when she passed. And what I mean by sick, she no more found out that she had cancer. And then a month later, she just up and passed. It was sudden. And that devastated me. So I grew close to his Nana, who I've always known since I was a wee kid because of church. So after that happened, I was at a loss for words. I didn't do any music. I was mad at God. I just continued, though, living my life the way I thought I needed to live, being the housewife, the quote-unquote, this is what I gotta do because now I have a daughter. My dad went through 2 years of grief. He spiraled out of control until he met a woman or a couple women off and on, and they helped him kind of get through things. But he still was having his issues and his trouble. I tried helping. And we just kind of lived and coasted through the best we could do. So, moving forward, my hubs got a bike, started riding it, and we tried making it work between me and him. Now, we've had our fights off and on then, but I didn't think they would escalate to anything. So, I later then continued to move at a steady pace, work extra hours at Walmart as needed. Try to really seriously make that money there. Because the overtime was sweet when you was able to get it. So as I continued forward, life got crazy. It threw me another wrench. My dad then found out late 2012 in December that he was sick. He found out he had cancer. The girl he was with then, he had a knot on the side of his, on his throat that really showed up. And he had it then when my mom was sick, but nobody thought anything of it. And they did some exploratory searching and found out that he had lymphoma. Now, granted the fact that after my mom passed and everything, you know, he smoked like a freight train. You know, it was crazy. And they were generational abused as well, so they didn't understand how to take care of themselves, let alone their body. It's a miracle how they was able to still take care of me and my sister as we were growing up. Like I said, they tried their best, given their situation that they were in, to rise above it. So, he ended up going to the doctor, and then he found out he had cancer. He ended up taking treatments. My sister was back with her boyfriend at the time, a fiancé, or married. I can't remember, but she's been married for quite a while. And so, I made sure he got his treatments. And unfortunately, the treatments were not working, so he decided not to do them anymore in the month of March. Severe weather season, he didn't really like getting out very much to begin with. There was 1 week he was fine. There was a Saturday morning he was fine. He was talking like he was feeling great and everything. And then I got the call Sunday morning. Hey, your dad's not responding to the door. There's something wrong. And then that's when they found him passing away in his sleep. It was very saddening because I was very close to my dad. He would always take me fishing as I was growing up. I was basically the boy he never had. Sort of speak, even though I'm a girl. I was a tomboy then. Still am sometimes as well. And so I ended up going forward. And I crashed. I just shut down completely because once I lost my dad, that was it. You know, that was also few months later, May 20th, 2013, when we also had that monster F5 that passed through here. So I kind of wrote maybe one or two songs in between, but nothing really stood out. I just continued coasting through life, just trying to get through it. Because I knew that that's what I had to do because I had a family. I was with his Nana a lot too. His Nana helped me get through it. Mike's Nana. And unfortunately, it's sad. She had a stroke when my daughter was 8 years old. My daughter's almost 13 now. So she was... She no more died last year, his Nana. So, when she was 11, she died. Nana died. Nana was in and out of nursing homes. She would get better. And truth be told, I asked God one day. I was like, the minute she had her first stroke, I prayed over her. And I asked God, please let my Nana live. Let her live. Let her be able to see. Let her be able to breathe. Let her live. That was my simple prayer. And he did answer that in letting her live a little bit longer. even though she still had to try to relearn her functions and everything after Bartholomew's stroke and when my daughter was 9. Or actually when she no more turned 8. A year later, she had a secondary stroke when my daughter was 9, which really took her over the edge. So, she basically for 2 years on and off, she was in a nursing home with assisted living. And then she passed away last year. Well, in between that time, I was surmounting in a lot of debt. I kept on getting debt letters. And this is where life takes you for a turn. Let me go ahead and tell you in this next segment what I mean. So let me take you back for a quick second. See, in 2013, after my dad passed, I hate to break it to you, my sister and I are on a bit better terms on now. But all she ever really wants is what's half of this house. And she is money hungry and is trying to take over what I have left of everything. And basically is trying to force me to get a loan I cannot get on this house just so she can have her half. She turned 360 on who she was after my dad had passed. Unfortunately, it's sad how family members can treat you at your worst times and not understand that you're the one that's put in everything in this house. But to flash forward back to 2017, see, in between those times, I just kind of coasted through life a little bit more. I paid attention to a few things. But in 2017, I was surmounting in so much debt, I didn't even know what to do. I am not crazy or anything. I'm not suicidal. But every time somebody has a point in their life that they just get down and out about. So, I seen the bills piling up, the debt, and I thought to myself, you know, I have this insurance policy. I'm worth more dead than I am alive. And so bad suicidal thoughts were playing through my mind. And I didn't listen to very much music or did much of anything. And one day at the same time of me thinking these thoughts, I heard this song by Justin Bieber, Life's Worth Living. And that song, in that moment when nobody was around and I was about to do some bad things, it just stuck with me. Life's worth living, you know, to live another day, the meaning of forgiveness. Life is worth living. That just really resonated and stuck out in the back of my mind. So I had broke down and I had prayed to God. I had asked for forgiveness. And then I had asked him to come show me what I need to do with my life. Show me who I need to be led to. Show me who I need to be friends with. And I promise you, I'm not crazy. I'm not a stalker. I put this as a disclaimer so you guys don't think of me as some crazy stalker person. Because when people hear this, they're going to think, oh, well, you know. So I'm like, okay, God, who is this Justin Bieber kid? I've never heard of him. He's 7 years younger than me. You know, geez, no wonder why I didn't hear from him. When he was 12, I was like 18, you know, so I'm thinking to myself, who is he? You know, this is a really powerful song. You know, I've got to find out more, you know, because this song totally changed my life. And it just woke me up and made me realize, you know, that life's worth living. And and what does it mean to live, and how do you truly live? And I knew then, I was like, I need to get back into music. I asked God, what do I do next? He told me, this is the crazy part. He told me, Amanda, I need you to A, get back into music and go write this song. So the next day, he literally gave me words to speak and just write like nobody's business. So I was like, wow, I finally have it back. I thought I lost it forever, but I guess I didn't. I just needed to unlock it again. And so I continued to write the song. And then I was like, God, what do I do with it? What do I do next? And then he told me, get on your Twitter account. Get on your socials. Go find Justin Bieber. Go find his believers, people that follow him. Go be friends with them. Go find him. I'm like, what? I'm shaking to myself. God, are you really talking to me? Who? Me? What do you want me to do with this music? What do you want me to do with these believers? What is it? Okay. So, I continued working for Walmart for a little bit longer. But then I invested my time into Shmuel, learning how to sing, covering Justin Bieber songs, trying to figure out who this kid is, trying to dive deep into how he does his music, study how he writes, study how he sings, trying to figure out the character, because I knew that, like, when dealing with people online, so many people can fake so many others and act a certain way that isn't them and make you think that it is them based upon how they act. And I also knew that if I was dealing with anybody else, I needed to know how certain people act so I don't accidentally give my music out to the wrong people or people that will steal, lie, and cheat. So, I only started with 3 followers on Twitter. I then started becoming friends with some of the believers, and I'm still friends with some of them today. That I moved over from Twitter. I've learned what their other social apps are, and it's been crazy of who I met friends with. People I've met along the way that's were suicidal at one point, just like me. I counseled them online and showed them that, you know, that you gotta stay encouraged, that you gotta continue moving forward, you know, telling them my testimony and how God did this for me and that he could do the same for you, and gave them hope and a life, and they're still living today. So on the effort of trying to find Justin, I'm not going to say that I have, and I'm not going to say that I hadn't. But in the efforts of trying to find him, there's a lot of fake people I found out. I got hurt by some fake people. I've invested my time so much into some people that ended up not being who they said they were. And at least through that, I made some friends. But it was sad because I almost gave up my music to some person that was faking as Selena. But through my purity and through my soul, she found out that she can't be doing this. Now, unfortunately, my husband at the time did not like how much time I was investing myself into other people in less time with him. Anytime you get in this music industry, there is a lot of time invested that you have to invest. So if your partner, whoever you're living with, whether you're married or not, or whatever the situation is with your family, they got to understand that there's a lot of time and money invested into yourself, into finding the people, into getting the people that you need to help you achieve your goals in the music industry. And that is a very tough daily grind in making yourself relevant and known. So I continued moving forward, sifting through different fake accounts from Twitter, and then I moved on to Instagram. Found a couple real accounts, but nobody was really listening to me then. And then I almost totally gave up. I was like, I'm not going to be able to find Justin. And I went to Facebook, and then I realized, you know what? Even if I don't find Justin, the fact is that I am helping people become better and showing them my talents and letting my words resonate within them and teaching them some things about life. Whatever I was writing about, whether it was a hip-hop song, whether it was a poem, whether it was just a piece of my life that I just let out, hanging myself up on a cross like I am telling you everything now in this long podcast normal, I knew that I needed people to listen. And people will listen when you're true and genuine to yourself and to your beliefs and speaking your mind. So that's what I did. There was a couple celebs I met through one person. I knew they were the real accounts, or they were family of celebs per se, because they went live on one of their verified accounts and then went live on the private account 2 seconds later. And so I was like, oh, cool, you know? And I wasn't like overly, oh my God, I can't believe I'm tagging this celeb. Most people don't like that. If you really want to be cool with celebs and people, treat them as like your best friend. Like talk to me like I'm talking to you on this podcast. You know, don't just sit there and like scream in their faces of who they are. You know, they're just normal people just like me and you, and they are normal. And they're not really a celeb. They're just a person with different roles in life that have reached a certain success level monetarily and talentedly that you can also reach as well. The only difference is they get tackled on by paparazzis, which is a whole nother other can of worms you don't even want me to get to speak on. If I run into him, I got a few things to say to him. But I doubt even if I said anything that they'd probably even listen, because they are totally like animals when it comes to paparazzi. So I continued moving forward, and then I started talking to some movie people, Sarah Kathleen Sullivan. She was this cool scriptwriter, being true and vibrant about her life. And I learned about so much crazy stuff that's going on there. She got me included in with some of her crewmen that she has working on some A-list celebs that's working on some of her movies. And also working with their own projects as well, between models, directors, screenwriters, actors, you name it. And so I was like, okay, you know, this is cool. You know, she's cool. I'll promote her for 2 years. I didn't know where it would lead me, you know. I just felt passionate about her project once I found out about what her project was about. So I was like, you know, I'll just let people promote themselves on my page, add a whole bunch of people up, not knowing who was 100% real, who wasn't. And then I met another girl, I think her name is Sexy Lady Jen, and she's really awesome. She was one of my very first people that stepped up and showed show me my worth and show me that I did have talent and gave me the confidence to just show up. Now she's queen of the underground. I don't know where she is right now. I know she's busy taking care of some projects of her own and her own family. And I love that girl to pieces. I can't wait for her to come back. And so, if you're listening, Sexy Lady Jen, you have my number. You know how to reach me. Talk to me. I miss you, girl. You're one of my best friends. So, she taught me and showed me some things. And I learned so much from her. And then she was more on the music side. Sarah was more on the movie side and music, but movie side. So I promoted because of what Jen did for me. I was doing basically back for her. Sarah got to a level she didn't think she would ever get to. Well, she knew she would get to, but I just kind of helped her out along the way to get to that point. And now she has her own clothing line mixed up with some very influential high profile people with her movies and such. And so I have that working for her. And then I promoted so well, I've been asked to help Sean Guerrero out, like I said in the previous podcast, on the Hidden Garden movie. I'm helping. It's a lot of projects, perks on that. If you go to the Indiegogo film that he is posting out on his Facebook profile, look up Sean Guerrero, and you will also find him on YouTube. His music is awesome. Go check it out, and just look up the Hidden Garden movie on Indiegogo, and it's so awesome what that movie is talking about, faith, and the battle of it between pharmaceuticals and faith, and just, it just has a lot of good features in there, good actors in there already. Dean Cain is one of them to make light of and note of, and there's another one too, I can't remember his name, but I know the last name is Campbell. And of course Sean himself as director. There's also, they just need $75,000 left to at least start getting it filmed, and I hope that you guys can go direct and go send some money or be a part of the Indiegogo film promotion for it and choose to donate through there. There is also Power TV. Power TV is something I helped launch, create with Marcus M. Gray, who is ex-executive producer in Hollywood of Fire Entertainment TV and the go-to guy everyone goes to for their films and such. And he's helped with many different high level profile feature films and actors on these films. I didn't know who he was exactly. I just knew he was a cool guy who did cool art, and I liked his profile because of that, and I became friends with him, and I just kept him talking off and on, just, you know, vibing. And a 3-hour conversation back in March of 2021 launched its first TV station June 4th. And then in July, August, we have our radio station that expanded even all the way out into Atlanta, Georgia. We're expanding in New York, all over Indiana. Even, and we are aiming to bring to you the best power network on the planet. We have the Roku station, the Power TV Network. You can find us on Roku. lots of cool people there on there with music. And we're just trying to help provide and heal the world through all the arts between music, sports, culture. So dive deep into that. I helped create it. And then in between that, I myself have created a website, musicwebcreatives.com. And I am also launching, as soon as I can figure it out, my own business website that you can buy products off of. Power TV also has a place you can buy Power TV products off of. And on my site, on musicwebcreatives.com, I am helping promote different artists that I feel the need to promote when I choose to. So I'm hoping that it will help the community out, and you can donate. My cash app tag is HHTV Power on that. If you want to donate just to myself, for myself only, to musicwebcreatives.com to help support the arts community and to keep the website up and running. So I'm doing that. And then in between all that time and my worst time after my ex left me back in 2018, after he didn't like all that was going on. He didn't like the fact that I was becoming independent, and he didn't like the fact that I spent less and less time with him. Everything became kind of a double standard with him, and so he just up and left me. That year and a half of being by myself, not knowing who I can run to, not knowing who I can turn to, left me in turmoil. And if it wasn't for Amazon coming to my building, and then my neighbors helping me, reaching out and me gathering my senses back and showing me that, you know, you can do this. You don't necessarily need people. You don't need a guy to support yourself, that you can do this yourself. With a little bit of help, we just needed to get you to point A to point B, to where you can get a car and everything. I ended up able to provide, thanks to Amazon, who has been so awesome and understanding and helping me out, between their benefits and just working with me and understanding where I've came from. So, to point that out, flashing backward a little bit, I've risen from so much between my anxiety and me trusting people again. I mean, I was not in the best of relationship. Relationship turned south. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think you'd like to eat eggs, bologna, and a couple other things that $40 would get you with per week that he was providing until she stopped providing altogether. And then I ended up being on food stamps while I didn't have a job, and I still didn't have a car, so it's still kind of hard to get around. There are times that I've walked to go to the grocery store and back to get food, and during that downtime, God still provided a way for me to get back and forth. If it wasn't initially for a neighbor taking me, it was some stranger one day that ended up dropping me off from work, from their place of going. They see me and my daughter walking, and they ended up letting me load my groceries in their car and just dropping me off real quick at my house in the middle of summer. So God does provide, and God is real. And I know at times I don't always measure up to everybody's standards. I know that at times, through it all, we all kind of judge another but always give people chances and know and try to understand them that maybe they're just going through some things in their timing at the level that needs that they can't control, and that maybe they just need a leg up. So I know this may be a long podcast, but after listening to everything, I mean, growing up I've been emotionally abused. I've been borderline on the physical abuse part. I can remember a couple instances I don't want to talk about per se, but through those hard times, the good always outweighs the bad. And as long as you push forward and strive forward, you will then learn and understand that life is totally worth living. I may not have found Justin. I may have. I'm just going to leave it open-ended like that. But I met so many people along the way in knowing and that life is possible and that there are people that do care for you more than you know. So as I've networked and continue to network my way, I choose not to be disrespected. I choose to be loved, and I choose to make my life better and to not let someone hold me or make me think that I can only think inside the box. I choose to live outside the box and be outside the box, because that's where winners are. They don't conform to what everybody else wants. They end up showing a different way. So if you're out there and you're wondering, man, how can I go about today? How can I go about living? How can I go about getting back out there? Grab onto somebody. Talk to somebody. If you're thinking bad thoughts, talk to somebody, whoever that may be. And just try your best to get help wherever you need the help. Because everybody needs help sometimes. It doesn't matter if you're the richest person in the world. It doesn't matter if you're the poorest person in the world. It doesn't matter if you're in between. Everybody sometimes just needs help sometimes. So just grab onto somebody and just talk. Reach out into DMs with somebody. You know, sometimes it's easier talking to somebody you don't know very well that don't know you. And just, even if you're just talking online, you know, because sometimes you can build really deep relationships online. Now, I would suggest a common balance rather than being online 24/7 and then not doing any exercise or work. You don't want to be like me and gain an extra 15 pounds by just being more online than not. Oops, I told on myself a little bit. I'm going to be working on myself, trying to become better and healthier. If it means cutting out certain things, then that's just what I have to do. But just continue to not give up. Continue to reach your goals. Because if a girl like me, who nobody knows at first, can create all these things and network her way up, anybody can. There are people out there in Hollywood that know me that I don't even know, based upon everything that I have done and whom I've worked with. So, not saying that I'm some celebrity or some whatever, you know, but people know you by your work and let your work speak for itself and whom you also align with. I know not everybody is real. Not everybody is going to be your friend. But what you can do is still keep everybody open and let go those that you need to let go and realign yourself into what God wants you to be. I ain't trying to preach here. I know not everybody believes in the God that I believe, but I know that if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be where I am today. I am one step closer to my dreams and my goals today than I was 4 years ago when I started back in 2017. Maybe it's been 5 years. Whoa. So I still got a long way to go. But I am not going to forget those that have helped me along the way. And it was those very same believers that I still talk to today that's helped me in my worst of times and in my best of times. Just talking in general and being friendly. And those others that I've talked to that I hadn't talked to in a while. And just everybody in general. There's a lot of people that do support you. Just got to believe in yourself. So I hope through this podcast that you listen to its entirety. And that you are blessed. Don't be afraid to reach out.